chapter 10. And then when you get there, go one more, because I should have said Isaiah chapter 11. I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to begin there tonight, and then we're going to look at some verses that move forward through the Bible. It won't be terribly long. I went a little bit long this morning, and so I'll try to reward you tonight by being a little more brief. But I'm going to look at a continuation of some things we've been studying over the course of the last few weeks, last month or so. And it comes right down to understanding the Bible as a whole and understanding prophecy in the Bible. We've been talking about prophecy. We've been talking about the path of prophecy. And tonight we're going to look at the path of prophecy pertaining to the Gentiles. Now, that's us. Amen? We're Gentiles. And we looked last Sunday night at the path of prophecy for Israel, and they're different paths, and they're not the same path because they're not the same people, and God is not finished with Israel yet. That's an incredibly important fact. When you read books like Ephesians, or when you read Romans, or when you read Isaiah, for example, we need to understand God's not finished with Israel yet. But I look for encouragement in this message tonight, and it's easy to find, and it starts like this. Way back when Noah and his family departed from the ark, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Remember that? Now, the Semitic tribes are the folks that are descendants of Shem, and they include the nation of Israel. Japheth is a man that we would herald from, and I won't take you there, but that's seen in Genesis chapter 10 in verse 5. And Japheth is, of course, you can read the Table of Nations. It's given back in Genesis chapter 10, and it tells you of all the descendants of the various sons. But just remember, we came from Japheth, and we had a different course than Israel, a different course than the Semitic tribes, like Israel, for example. And to put it mildly, we didn't have a chance. Now, you're sitting here tonight, young or old, and I liked the testimony just now. The Bible says a little child shall lead them. How do we know that God loves us? Because Jesus died to pay for our sins. Amen? Remembering that way back when Abraham was in the Ur of the Chaldees, that God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and I won't tell you the whole story for the sake of time, but he came to what's now modern-day Israel, to a place north of Jerusalem, and he settled there in a tent, and God promised him, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. He was just a man with his family. He didn't even have any sons yet. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. And then, of course, ultimately, miraculously, we saw it described in Galatians chapter 5, Abraham gave birth to a young man named Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and so on and so forth. And we have Israel. And now, isn't it fascinating that today, as we sit here on this very evening, that the descendants of Abraham dwell in the very place that God promised to give them? Thousands and thousands of years ago, God made that promise. But that's partly, largely I should say, because God chose Israel as his people. I won't even try to explain that right now, but God chose the people of Israel as his people to represent him on the face of the earth. In particular, he chose them that they would be the ones that would produce the Messiah. We were the other guys. We were the ones that were the outcasts. We were the ones that didn't have any chance. We were not God's chosen people. We were heathen. We had no chance. But folks, God had a plan. You shouldn't have gotten saved, let me say it that way, because you didn't have a chance, but God had a plan. And as we sit here tonight as Gentiles, God had a special place for us as well. And we're going to try to show you some of that tonight. I just want to read one verse and have a word of prayer. Look at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. The Bible says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be
glorious. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, thank you that we have the Word of God, that we, as born-again Christians, can see things in the Word of God that enlighten us, they encourage us. Father, as we looked into the Bible this morning, we were encouraged to be godly people that would affect those around us and be a refreshing people. But tonight, Lord, we just pause for a moment to look at a few things you've done for us. And Lord, truly, the Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And help us to pause tonight for a moment and just remember how good you've been to us. Lord, I pray for folks that are away from us tonight that you'd be with them, bring them back safely. I ask you to please bless our time. Speak to us through your word. Draw us closer to you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So there's this promise that God had made, and it's throughout the Old Testament, that God was going to draw the Gentiles to himself. I'd like to ask you to turn from here to Psalm 2, if you would. We'll look at just one more of those real quick. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is a psalm that is prophetic about the Messiah. And if you look at verse 8, he's talking to the Son. He says in verse 7, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." And God says to the Son, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." So once again, just time and time again, we could find plenty of these, but in the Old Testament, God promised to reach the Gentiles. And I'm glad he did, because that's us. So this path of prophecy for, and I'm sorry if you weren't here last week, for the Jews, there was a different path, and we talked about that last week. For us as Gentiles, the beginning of that path was obscurity. In the Old Testament, we would have been perhaps what would have been called the remnant, not the remnant of Israel, but the residue, I should have said, that kind of clung to the outsides of the camp. There was really no heritage for us. There was no promise for us. And very, very few of the Gentiles in the Old Testament got saved, but some did. But God had a bigger plan than that. And in the New Testament, and I'm going to take you there and keep you there now, go to Romans chapter 9. We begin to see a very plain description of that plan. In Romans chapter 9, and I'll begin reading in verse 30. It says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by works of the law." The Gentiles, in God's plan, and I described some of this last week, as he set Israel aside, he sent the Apostle Paul specifically to the Gentiles. We'll see that here in just a minute in Ephesians chapter 3. And the Bible says that we, not by being God's chosen people, not by keeping the law, not by good works, but by faith, you and I have received righteousness. The faith is counted for righteousness. Brother Dahlman and I, last Tuesday night, wasn't it? We were knocking doors over here in the neighborhood. Came across a fellow that was of another religious persuasion, and he told us what that was, and he was polite to listen to us, but you could kind of read his body language and tell he didn't have a whole lot of time to give us, and that may have been just as well, because, you know, the good thing about the Bible's simple, it just says what it says, and so he told me what his persuasion was, and I said, "Well, can I quote you a verse, and then we'll be on our way?" Well, that's an easy thing to say when you're going door to door, because when you promise you'll leave, they'll let you quote a verse. Amen? So if I could quote you a verse, then we'll be on the way. I gave him the reference. I said, Romans chapter 4. You've heard me quote this many, many times. I learned this way back in a children's club 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I said, "To him that worketh," Romans 4:4, "to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then didn't he ask what the reference was again? I think maybe he might have gone and looked that up. Because he told us he believed the Bible. That's Bible. Folks, we're saved by faith. There's little children up here. They haven't got to have a theology class. They haven't got to be experts in religious procedures or anything. They just need to believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. That's our salvation. That's what God did for us. Praise God. We're saved by faith in the Lord and not by works. And by the way, the Jews weren't saved by works either. But the Gentiles, we did not follow after righteousness. We did not keep the law. We did not even try to keep the law. We didn't even know the law. But what we did know, because someone gave the gospel to us, is that Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. If that doesn't seem like a big thing to you, let me remind you of something. Just any minute now, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And when we step into eternity, it'll be a big thing to us. Amen? To be spared from the fires of hell and to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, to know his presence today, right now, even as we sit here and as we go through our life, folks, that's as good as it gets. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll start tying this all together for you. It's going to go quicker than you think. I'm halfway done already. Ephesians chapter 3. The path of prophecy for the Gentiles. Go back to, if you look at Genesis, that's where Japheth is the beginning of that path. And then we know that in Romans 10, and you haven't got to turn there, but in Romans 10, the Bible made it very clear that we were a people that was without hope. In fact, he says that we were no people, that we were a foolish nation. But God promised in Isaiah 11 that we would be those that would seek the Lord. And in in Romans chapter 9, we saw that we receive righteousness by faith. And now, in Ephesians chapter 3, this is a good example of a part of the Bible that you just can't understand unless you realize Israel is Israel and Gentiles are Gentiles. God has a path for Israel. God has a path for us. Now, it's interesting. We just recently studied through Ephesians. In fact, I've been through Ephesians twice in the last 18 months, once on Wednesday nights and then once as a book of study on Sunday mornings in Sunday school. We really ought to remember this pretty well if you've been with us before in those classes. But let me read you a couple of verses, beginning in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." Remember that, the mystery. "As I have wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit." What is this mystery that people did not know in times past that was hidden in the Old Testament? Verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister." Ephesians 3:6 ought to be a precious verse to you and I, because it solidifies our understanding that God had a plan for us as well. Way back in the Old Testament, when we were the heathen, we were the foreigner, we were the no people, as he refers to us in Romans chapter 9. Way back in the Old Testament, people thought, you know, there's no chance for the Gentiles. They would have said, "I'm sure glad I'm one of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, and I'm sure glad I have a chance to receive the oracles of God and to hear from him." But those Gentiles, they haven't got a hope. Well, they didn't know the mystery, and the mystery was that God had a plan for you and I. I will say this, I'm really glad I live now and not back then. Aren't you glad God brought the gospel to you? And again, if that seems like a light thing, one day it'll be very much stronger to you. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs." You have an inheritance. You remember when we studied this in Ephesians that there's a threefold promise here. One of those things is that we should have an inheritance. Now, you don't get an inheritance unless you're part of a family. Some of you probably have had some of your loved ones parents, grandparents, and so on that stepped off into eternity and they left you an inheritance. I have not been so fortunate. My parents didn't have anything, and that didn't happen to me. But to get an inheritance is a nice thing. Can you imagine being a co-inheritor with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's about as good as it gets. Oh, wait a minute. You're Gentiles. You're not part of that family. You don't belong to them. No, God has a plan here. And he says, that's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same bodies and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And then Paul was made a minister to that. So he sent an apostle to the Gentiles. And you may not realize it, but mostly because of the apostle Paul. If it weren't for him, you and I wouldn't have heard the gospel. But Paul started churches, and they started churches, and the gospel spread, and it went around the world. And somewhere along the way, we heard it. How many of you were saved in church? Raise your hand. Saved in church. Okay. How many of you were saved at home? Okay. How many of you were saved somewhere besides church and home? Okay. That's interesting to me. Mrs. Dahlman, where were you saved? Okay. Kind of church, but not really. Okay. Levi. Okay. Okay, so not a church service, but somewhere, something to do with the church. If I asked this question, you'd have to raise your hand if I asked it right, and I'll just try to phrase it, but somewhere along the way, a church was involved in your salvation, either because you got saved in a church, or because the person that told you got saved in a church, or because a pastor of a church spoke to you, or a church was holding a special meeting or something like that. And therein is the importance of the local church. But that was all part of God's plan way back when God set Paul in motion as the apostle to the Gentiles. I like to think about it like this. When God sent Paul to the Gentiles, God sent the gospel to me. Amen? When God sent Paul to the Gentiles, God sent the gospel to Brother Hickson. Who led you to the Lord, Brother Hickson? Amen. And how did she get saved? Do you remember? Okay. And so a group of people that found the gospel important, if you kept going backwards at some point in time, you're going to reach the Apostle Paul. Somewhere along the way, all this began with him. Again, it's easy to take this for granted, but we shouldn't. God didn't have to do that. Paul reminded Timothy that he was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. All right, two more things. Acts chapter 15, and then we're going to finish in Galatians. Acts chapter 15. So just a simple walk down the path of prophecy for the Gentiles. The fact that it is different from the path that Israel took, quite greatly different. I've mentioned this a couple of times in the last few weeks, but it really jumped out at me about a month ago. I was reading Ezekiel. And in fact, I was talking to one of the missionaries, and he just now started reading Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, over and over and over again, God does things, and God says, the reason I'm doing this is that they would know that I am the Lord. Folks, God deserves glory. He deserves glory for his creation. You say, what's wrong with evolution? It robs God of the glory of his creation. Someone says, I don't want to give God credit for all this beauty. I just want to think it's an accident. It was just an accident. Give me a break. God's the one that created the universe. God's the one that spoke and made it come to pass. Everything from light down to our physical bodies. God created all that. And he deserves glory for that. It was a good creation. When he saw it all finished, he said, behold, all things are very good. God deserves glory for the things that happen in our lives. You know, we shouldn't take it for granted that we're here tonight, that we're saved, that we have a church, that we have fellow believers to worship with. All that came from God. Your health, that your ability to give to foreign missions, the ability you have to go home tonight and have a meal if you haven't eaten already, or the ability you have to go home tonight and have a house to sleep in or a place to rest your head. All that came from God, and God deserves the glory for that. 63 times in Ezekiel, God says that they may know that I am the Lord. Now, this path of prophecy that we've seen, the path that we saw last week for Israel, the path we see tonight for the Gentiles, at the end of the day, the whole purpose is to bring glory to God. Ephesians, I can't go back there, but in Ephesians chapter 2, that's the emphasis, that when we got saved, for all eternity, we're going to be a testimony. Just the fact that you're walking down those streets of gold in heaven, somebody could point to you and say, well, what's he doing or what's she doing here? And someone else would say, well, the reason they're here is because of the glory of God. He sent his son to die and pay for their sins. You are, for all eternity, a proof of the goodness of God. In Acts chapter 15, something simple here. Simeon, Acts 15, 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. We can't go through all this, but when Peter went to Joppa, and a bunch of Gentiles got saved, and now they're revisiting this event in Acts chapter 15. That was the beginning of what's happened with us, that God had a plan to call the Gentiles out, a people that would be his. Now, let's finish in Galatians chapter 3. And I'll try and tie this all together real quick, and we'll be done for the evening. Galatians chapter 3. We remember from the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in the Revelation, death and hell will be cast into a lake of fire. The Bible says in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and I. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But that gift, as we've seen already, is obtained by faith. Now, look at the picture that the Gentiles clearly demonstrate. Now, and stay with me. Remember this. In the eyes of the Israelite, in the eyes of the Jew, the Gentile is abominable. The Gentile is someone that you don't want to associate with. He is the outsider. He is the outcast. God chose us, the Jews said. He didn't choose you. We're special. You're not. We've got God's promises. You don't. We're not going to have anything to do with you. And that was the general opinion of the Jews towards the Gentiles. Then the Jews, in their pride, said, we will be good enough to be saved. And I'm using that word loosely there because they wouldn't have said it that way. But we'll be good enough to inherit eternal life because we've got the law and we keep it. And from Jesus to Peter to Paul to any of the New Testament preaching, you understand something. You cannot keep the law. That's the point behind Galatians. You cannot keep the law because in our weakness, it is impossible to keep the law. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But the Jews said, nope, we're good enough. And those Gentiles, they are the offscouring of the world. So God says, I'm going to show you Jews something. I'm going to show you the nation of Israel something. I'm going to save those people. And you're going to understand, if they can be saved by faith, you can be saved by faith. And look at this in Galatians chapter 3, and we'll be done. He says in verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's not the only place that Bible says that, by the way. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You keep looking at that word faith. He says again in verse 11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. It says in verse 12, the law is not of faith. Look at Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I don't have time to dissect all of that. And there's some things there that might confuse you unless you studied them out. But I can point this out to you. Just as God said, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You and I are saved by faith in what God said. Brother Hickson and I, when we go door to door, and we encourage you to come out with us, by the way, it's the right thing to do. But quite often, he'll point out to people what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What you're believing is God's promise. Amen? And God promised to save us by faith, and he promised that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. So, as Gentiles who had no chance, were no people, heathen, pagan, the offscouring of the world, the unchosen, the outsider, nothing going for us, the Gentiles, God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save those folks. Amen. I'm glad he decided to save us. Amen. I'm going to save them not by keeping the law, not by being God's chosen people, not because they're good. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. I'm going to save them by faith. And literally make Israel jealous. Folks, God's not finished with Israel yet. Now, I'll be quick. I'm just almost out of time. But here's what's going to happen. The Bible says that in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I hope it's today. Amen? Amen. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, listen to these words, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That, for the most part, just to leave a little gap here that we can use later on, but for the great part, that's the end of the path of prophecy for the Gentiles. You go from Japheth to the ascension into heaven. And then we begin what's called a 7 years of tribulation. And during that 7 years of tribulation, folks, 1 Thessalonians very clear, we're not appointed to wrath. Read Daniel. The tribulation is the last week of God's dealing with the Jews. If you are a born-again Christian, Gentile or Jew, you're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then the tribulation comes for the nation of Israel and for the unbelieving world. The wrath upon the world for rejecting Christ. The judgment and dealing with Israel to bring them back to Christ. And at the end of that 7 year period of time, they're going to look on him whom they have pierced, and they're going to mourn, and they're going to acknowledge him as the Messiah. And then he is going to deliver them. There's going to be a great battle we call Armageddon, and he's going to deliver them. And there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ from Jerusalem with the nation of Israel again as a world power. But folks, remember back in Thessalonians, the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So if the Lord reigns from this earth, we're going to be with him. Amen? 1,000-year reign of Christ after Israel is drawn back to him. That's their path. Our path is to receive him today and to be caught up together to be with him for all eternity. And you simply cannot understand prophecy unless you realize there's a different path for the Gentile and for the Jew. And it's very clear in the Bible. There's one more thing I'm going to show you in this series, and we'll do it in a week or two. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a communion service, and so perhaps the Sunday after that, I'm going to show you all the Old Testament prophecy about the restoration of Israel. Because, folks, God's not finished with Israel yet. He promised that over and over and over again. There are some folks that seem to think that because of Israel's failure, that God's done with them. But God chose those people, and God will save them. They will turn again to him. And meanwhile, he's used us as a picture to them. And I like being that picture. Amen. I like being saved by faith. We didn't have a chance, but because of God's goodness, we have all the chance in the world. Let's stand.